Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome to this exciting episode of eLaborate Topics podcast. Taiwano Wilson, Stephanie Whitehead, and Lona Small. And we are the co-hosts of eLaborate Topics podcast. And we have an exciting guest today, Shirley Daugherty. And today is like a celebration for Shirley and her team, her students. And we are going to talk to Shirley about the 2021 Cell Bowl competition that was put on by ASCP and Tiffany Gill, that YouTube. And so I'm gonna read a little bit. First of all, welcome, Shirley.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Okay, so I'm gonna start off by reading a little bit about Shirley, because Shirley actually led her team to winning. They competed against 72 other teams across the nation, and they won. And I'm going to read a little bit about Shirley, and then we'll ask her some more questions so you can get a good background of what happened. So Shirley is a director and coordinator of the Medical Lab Technology Program at Southern West Virginia Community and Technical College in Logan. And she was there since 2017. She began her job at Southern in 1992 as an academic lab manager and continued as a faculty member and currently a professor. In 2015, she graduated from Marshall University Graduate College with a Master's of Science in Adult and Technical Education. And she graduated from West Virginia State University at Institute in 2008 with a Regents Bachelor of Arts degree. Shirley began her career in 1978 at Southern West Virginia Community and Technical College with an associate in applied science in medical laboratory technology. Shirley worked as an MLT and an MLS at Logan Regional Medical Center Hospitals from 1996 to 2017. And she's a certified ASCP, board certified as an MLS and an MLT. Shirley licensed as a clinical lab practitioner in the state of West Virginia. And Shirley led her team as medical lab these are students. So she led her students to win the first 2021 Cell Bowl. And the Cell Bowl basically is like students will compete in identifying morphology of cells. And I find that very intriguing as someone from hematology. While these students are preparing for their board exam, and some of the students who entered were actually just starting the program. So congratulations, Shirley. And we'll just round robin, and Stephanie will go ahead and ask some questions about the competition.
Well, thank you for joining us, Shirley. We really appreciate you bringing the time to tell us about your experience with the first annual ASCP Cell Bowl. So I just want to start out by asking, what prompted you and your team to participate in this competition? And what were some of your initial thoughts as you were going through the competition? Because it was the first time that ASCP has done this.
Well, honestly, I can accredit the pandemic for me even knowing about this competition, because I'm not a big Facebook user. I'm very old fashioned and I never use Facebook. But during the pandemic, we were notified that there was a group that coordinators and directors could join and learn about different methods of sharing education during these virtual times and different topics and areas that we could utilize. So I joined, and that was, you know, my first experience with Facebook, and I stayed on, and I'm always look to see what's new and what's there. And I noticed that Lab Lady Gill, Tiffany Gill, had posted that she was opening up this competition. So had it not been for the pandemic and me joining Facebook, I would have never known that there was a competition. So I did that, and I even hesitated, though. I saw that she was having only one level. It was MLS versus MLT altogether. So I thought, well, we're MLT. We may struggle. We may not be able to do as well as the MLT programs. But then I thought about it, and, you know, sales are sales. It doesn't matter if you're a two-year student or a four-year student, you learn the same sales. So I gave it some thought, and I said it would be a great experience for the students to compete, maybe learn about some other programs, just a great opportunity for them to do something different even, because we're constantly trying to be innovative and do new things, not just our typical old way we did it back in the 90s when I first started teaching. So I thought it'd be a good experience for them to just to participate. So I almost didn't sign up. It was the very last day that she was accepting applications, and I hurried up and filled out the application and submitted it and said, we'll give this a go. And that's how we got started. So almost didn't do it, hesitated, but decided to
go. It turned out great. That's amazing.
Wow, that's awesome. So just a chance encounter of getting on Facebook, then you were able to get your group into the competition.
Yeah, Facebook has opened up a lot of areas for different opportunities for the students. So it's been a good thing.
I would agree. That's awesome. Shirley, can you talk to us a little bit about the preparation that your team did that gave you that competitive advantage over some of the other teams? Because as you said, like, okay, we're an MLT program and there's all of these MLS students in there. Can our team compete? Well, clearly you all rocked it out. So, like, how did you prepare, and what do you think really helped your students kind of go to the number one spot?
I think one of the advantages that we had was we were actually studying hematology last semester. We had two groups of students. I have first year students and I have second year students. And the second year students, I feel they were a little bit of a disadvantage because they started the program in the midst of the pandemic. Their hematology was virtual. So I don't know that they got as great of an experience as the first year students. We were live and in person this past fall, and it was their hematology class. So they were able to really do more hands-on, see more cells, use the microscope in person, you know, not just seeing virtual pictures. So them being in hematology this semester, I feel, was an advantage. I don't know that I personally had anything to do with it. And, you know, I taught the cell morphology and we went over and over and over cells. But other than that, I think I want to credit them with taking the time. I had one student tell me that she took her whiteboard and she sat in the floor of her kitchen and she drew cells over and over and over. And she drew the lineage from the immature up to the mature cells of all the different white blood cells. So things like that, I credit the students with taking the time to do those kind of things. And the student who had the highest score, our MVP, she was one of the first year students who had just got introduced to hematology this fall. So I'm very proud of that. She was one of the first year students. So.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. So I guess based on that experience that you're sharing with students, you know, spending a lot of time to actually prepare and review, and, you know, it's almost like they're going back to studying. And I'm guessing that some of them may have already done that either before or just starting out at different levels. So how would you say that just winning the competition helped them in terms of their learning experience, or just elevating them because of there's a lot of experience that they had throughout the whole competition? you know, learning and otherwise? How have that elevated them?
The competition forced us to continue to look at sales, even when we were past that point in their education. Once we study the cells and learn the morphology, we move on to procedures and routine and special hematology procedures. Then we move on to hemostasis and coagulation. But even though we had moved on, we were still learning cells, studying cells. So it forced us to continue with that. Whereas in the past, we would have probably stopped looking at cells at that point, started focusing on coagulation factors, other things, and not really continued that. So it made us get deeper into our knowledge of what these immature cells look like. Whereas in the past, we would probably not go there. We would just, it's in the beginning, you know, as a new student, learning a new cell is difficult. Learning immature abnormal cells is extremely difficult. Sometimes that doesn't really click until they do clinicals, and that's in their last semester. So this forced us to look at those cells in depth, learn their characteristics, be able to identify them. So it was a wonderful opportunity to dig deeper into identifying these immature cells, some of these blast cells that, if any of you have not seen the CellaVision app, it's difficult.
Yeah,
I have not been very successful with it personally. It's very difficult. I don't know how they did it. Just to be honest, it's tough.
So it sounds like the goal of ASCP to help with student engagement during this difficult time and this challenging time where educators are trying to keep students safe but still keep them engaged in their education was successful in allowing you guys to continue finding different ways to keep students engaged in their learning and getting them competency in the different areas. It's hard, Shirley, as you know, right now to have any conversation without bringing up COVID or the pandemic that creeps its way into every conversation that we have. And we've had many conversations with other clinical program leaders who have said that, you know, they face a lot of challenges and barriers that they've had to overcome to teach their students during this pandemic. And so how has your program really faced and accomplished some of those challenges? And how did this Cell Bowl help to keep your students engaged in their learning?
We're actually back face-to-face this fall. We came back face-to-face with the students coming on campus with masks, social distancing, you know, and all the safe measures that were in place. So it was a transition in itself. You know, the previous year, we were fully virtual. The students that are in second year, I didn't see them for the first year other than like what we're doing now. So it's hard to connect with students on that level. They're in their homes. It's not a classroom setting. The mindset is not the same as if they were in a classroom and we're all there discussing and learning together. It's been very difficult, honestly. The group in 2020 that graduated in May of 2020, their world was just flipped upside down there in March of 2020. They were in the midst of clinicals. Hospitals called one day and said they're out. And then it started a reflex. Each hospital, every day I'd get a new one. No, students are out. We can't have students here. So they had no way to complete their clinicals. And without clinicals, they couldn't graduate. So we had to come up with ways to do this. And, I credit the online, like Tiffany Gill, there were several different YouTube video areas out there where the students could do virtual clinicals. Well, if you want to call it that's a term that I use loosely because virtual clinicals, I don't even know what that means. You know, it's like we did something. We had them learn and show that they could potentially do these things. It's just been tough. It's been very tough. But we're back face-to-face now. We still have situations, if someone tests positive for COVID, you're out for a while. It's just, it's a challenge. And we're trying our best to meet it safely. And we go back here in another week or so. I don't know what's coming up in the future with that. So,
well, we commend your work and all the other educators across the nation and the country who have been, continuing to keep our students educated and trained during this really tough time.
Yeah, this kitchen I'm sitting in became a classroom. I'd go around looking for things I could use to demonstrate. we left, I said, my salad spinner looked like a centrifuge one day. So I said, yeah, this is how it goes around. You know, just silly little things like that, that we had to do. My husband never knew if we were going to have an education session going on in the kitchen. He was going to get a meal. He didn't know what was happening in his kitchen. It just turned into a virtual classroom. So we just did the best we could.
That's awesome. I love that, because, you know, even with all of its difficulty and all of the aftermath of COVID and the pandemic, one of the things that it did do was bring us closer together as a profession. And so being able to talk with you today, I didn't know anything about Shirley Jardy and her program, but it's just because of these kind of activities, the virtual, being able to have you all in the sailboat, that allowed us to have that. So yes. I guess when you look on the bright side, as a profession, we gained more exposure, but it allowed us to be more connected as medical laboratory professionals.
Yes. And as an educator, it has taught me that I can change. I can do things differently. You know, I started 30 years ago as an instructor, and my supervisor then was even older than me, and we didn't think we could ever do things online or virtual. We just felt that in our profession, we could not do that. So it has forced me to learn different ways of presenting the education. And I'm proud that I could do it and present things online and virtual. It's been tough, but I learned that I could change. I can do new things. So that presented different opportunities for the students. So now when we have a snow day, I know what Zoom is. We can Zoom. We don't have to cancel class. You know, we've got other ways of getting this done. So if anything good came from it, it's learning those new ways of doing things. So we have to take some good from it, I guess, and go forward.
Absolutely. And Shirley, you said you didn't have an impact on your students winning. I believe you did.
Well,
I mean, if you in your kitchen saying this could be a centrifuge, people engage in your enthusiasm, just how you talk, you could tell that you're very passionate. So yes. We are thankful to have you and all that you do, as Stephanie mentioned earlier.
Thank you.
So as you think about your students and they are getting ready to embark on their careers as medical laboratory professionals, because you have some that'll be graduating here soon, what are they looking forward to mostly as they go out into the hospitals and reference labs and all kind mm-hmm. of places that they may end up working? What are they looking forward
well,
to?
I think obviously they look forward to not having to study and take another test for a while. That's their big goal. But their ultimate goal is, if they didn't want to help people, I don't think they would have chosen this field. So they want to go out and help people in the healthcare setting. I asked the students to give me some ideas, and one student told me something interesting that I didn't know about her. She has a goal to someday work for St. Jude's Research Hospital. She said nice. That is her goal someday. So they have aspirations and goals that I'm not even aware of. But you know, financial stability, of course, is one of their goals. They want to get a good job. They want to get a job where they're helping people. They want to take care of their families. They want to have a good life. And I think in our field, we can provide all those opportunities for these students and graduates. We are the hidden profession, and we can give some good opportunities that sometimes people don't even know about. I get so many calls. I got a text this morning from a director over in the Kentucky area, which is our neighboring state, and he listed a huge list of job openings that he has right now. Our hospital in Charleston, huge list of job openings. There's such a shortage. I know that's another topic for another day, but if we could just get our profession out there and let people know how valuable we are and what a need there is for people in our fields, you know, that I think that's one of the things that really plagues us right now, is there's a shortage. So my students, when they graduate, they can probably pick a job at about any hospital in our area because there are so many openings. So they look forward to being able to select the job that's best for their family and to move forward with their lives.
Yeah, that's a great thing. You mentioned shortage too. I'm curious to know about your enrollment. How were you all impacted through the pandemic with your enrollment of students? Because as we know, if we don't have as many students coming in, it doesn't help with our shortage issues. I'm just curious, over the past couple of years, did you see a decrease?
Surprisingly, our college has not seen a decrease. We've actually seen an increase in student enrollment. So we were not a victim of a decrease at all. You know, with MLT, one of the things that we suffer from is lack of people knowing about us. And we have so many really wonderful healthcare programs at our college. And students that want nursing, rad tech, you know, those students don't consider MLT sometimes. So one of the problems we face is we are not one of the most popular programs in our college right now. And we do different things to try to spark interest. Before the pandemic, we were bringing in high school groups really often and letting them go through the different departments and allowing them to do some hands-on activities and see what some of the fun things that we do in the lab, just to spark an interest. But when the pandemic hit, students weren't allowed to come on campus. So that's hurt us a little bit in interest. But we try to start out with 20 students a year. We increased that back in, I think, 2003. We were only taking 15. But with the increased demand for workers, we increased our numbers to 20 students. But the sad thing is I can't always get 20 students on board in August. I can't always get a full class. So if I could get a full class, keep the majority of them in class and in the program, it would be wonderful. But that's our ongoing problems that you face in education is retention and just an ongoing situation, actually. But I'm happy to say I have 14 in first year and 10 in second year. So those numbers are great right now for me. I've heard of some programs having 2 and 3 students only, and I thought 14 and 10 didn't sound as great as I wanted it to. But after hearing some of the other numbers, I'm very pleased with the number of students that we have right now. So
that's awesome. That's good news.
Yeah, we're always looking for ways to attract more students. You know, we do a lot of high school visits, different types of recruitment activities, just to try to spark the interest in our field.
That's awesome. So with your students getting ready now, the ones that are getting ready to get into the workplace, what advice do you think that they would want to hear from leaders in the lab that would help mm-hmm. them to succeed once they get out there?
Some of the things that would be beneficial is, giving them advice on how to choose a job. Like I had mentioned, they're going to be able to pick a job at probably any of the local hospitals. So they need to know how to pick a job. It's not always about the job that pays the most money. It's not always about the shift. Sometimes you can change shifts. So just different advice about how to select the right job for you. We offer advice on a lot of things, such as future planning. We have a seminar class, and in one of our classes, we talk about getting ready for retirement, even though they're just getting started. But sometimes young people don't think about that. They think they're never going to get old, and they're never going to retire. So we do things like that. As far as the instructors in the lab that they encounter, they're wonderful. They give the students advice on a lot of different things. So.
Well, Shirley, thank you so much for coming on and for sitting with us, visiting with us. Congratulations on your win. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. We mentioned before, this was the ASCP's first time doing this in partnership with Tiffany Gill. It was a wonderful success. And it sounds like you guys put mm-hmm. a lot of hard, dedicated work into winning. And so as we wrap up our conversation, how can people reach out to you if there are students who are watching, if there are other program directors who are watching? How can people reach out to you to kind of learn more about what you're doing in your program? And what are some last words or of advice or tidbits of information that you would want to leave with the listeners?
Well, I want to, before I go, I do want to recognize ASCP because they are graciously presenting each of our students with a package, a bundle of study material. So as the winning team, each and every student in the class is going to be the recipient of an ASCP study bundle. It's a book, it's the online practice exams, and some other type of a study guide. So that was very gracious, and I'm so thankful to ASCP for that, because sometimes students can't afford that, all that material at the end of their education. They've had to take time off from work to do clinicals, and money is sometimes an issue. So that's going to be very helpful and beneficial. Our program is taking applications now. If anyone in the listening area is interested, I mean, you do have to live in the area because we are not an online program, but it's a wonderful area. Should anyone be interested in coming to Southern West Virginia, it's beautiful, great place to live. You can find more information by getting on Southern's website. It's southernwv.edu. There's a page about our program, information about the college. We also have a Southern Facebook page that showcases all the activities and things that we do at the college. In addition to education, we have a lot of fun at Southern. We're getting ready to put on a play, so we've got a lot of open avenues for students to do other things in addition to getting a wonderful education at Southern. I can be reached via email, shirley.daugherty@southernwv.edu, if anyone has any questions. Any other program directors interested in getting into the competition, I highly recommend it. It was a great experience. I got to speak with Tiffany Gill several times on the phone. It's kind of funny because during the pandemic, it was like she was a goddess, just to be honest. She had all these videos and things out there that my students probably wouldn't have been successful without that. So when I got to speak to her in person, I felt like I was speaking to a famous person who was so instrumental in success of our students. I was really pleased to get to know Tiffany and talk with her and find out she has some West Virginia roots, and it's very, very nice to speak with her. But it's a wonderful competition. She did a great job. It was conducted perfectly. Can't say anything at all that we could have been done differently. It was just a great experience. I'm very thankful to have been part of it.
And as an elaborate topic podcast, as for me and all my co-hosts, we want to definitely give a shout out and a great congratulations to Tiffany Gill, Aaron Odegaard, and all of the other hosts that put on this competition for the first time through ASCP. They did a wonderful job. And you can tell that the idea and the time and the effort behind it was all with the passion for our field and the passion for growing those students who are in preparation for being, you know, medical laboratory technologists or scientists. So
yes,
thank you so much for coming on. Anything else from our co-host?
No, I just want to say thank you, Shirley, for coming on and telling your story and allowing us to be able to celebrate with you and your team. I think that was pretty awesome. And you all did it. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you.
Yeah, congratulations. And I'm glad that Stephanie brought up all the other support behind Tiffany, like Aaron Odegaard, and all the others that were part of the YouTube channel and hosting the students. And thank you so much for coming on to our show so we could highlight you and celebrate you, and congratulations.
Thank you very much, appreciate it.
All right, that has been our show. And so until next time, please enjoy another episode of the Elaborate Topics. Until next time, have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.